Becca had always known her life would end in tragedy. As a child, she couldn't speak to her certainty of her fate or explain how she could foresee such a thing. She believed in providence, and it came as no surprise when she realized she would also die young. When she was 7 years old, she asked her mom about death. Her mother told her that when people die, they go to live with God. The answer pleased Becca immensely. It gave her great comfort, knowing what she did about her destiny. After that day, not once did she fear the closeness or inevitability of her mortality. Now, 8 years later, as she stood on the frozen shore of Mohawk Lake and stared across the vast expanse of ice, her mother's words calmed the fear that had been building inside her for days. Dusk had fallen, and the lake was a monochrome world in which sky and horizon blended to a gray smear, one barely discernible from the other. A dozen or more ice fishing shanties dotted the lake surface. Yellow light glowed in one of the windows, but the others were dark, telling her the Englisher fishermen had gone home for the day. The wind scored Becca's skin through the covering of her wool coat as she stepped onto the ice. Blowing snow whispered across the jagged plain and stung her face like sand. The hem of her dress was frozen and stiff and scraped against her bare calves. She'd been walking for quite some time and could no longer feel her hands or feet. But those petty discomforts didn't matter. Soon she'd be home, and she didn't have much farther to go. Becca loved this lake, summer or winter. It didn't matter. When Becca was a little girl, her Dot bought her and her brother ice skates, and they'd spent many a winter afternoon playing hockey. By spring, she could skate faster than any of her Amish friends, even faster than her older brother. He hadn't liked being shown up by a girl. But her Dot would laugh and clap his hands and tell her she could fly. His praise, such a rarity, always made her feel special, like she mattered, and her achievements, regardless of how small, were important. The lake became her special place, her hideaway from the rest of the world, away from her troubles. It was the place where she learned to dream. No one could catch her when she was on the ice. No one could touch her. No one could hurt her. Only he had. When Becca was 9 years old, her brother found her sitting on the stump, lacing her skates. He'd knocked her down and ground her face into the snow, and then he took her right there on the frozen bank. And from that day forward, Becca knew she was doomed. Later, when her mam asked about the cut on her cheek, Becca told her what her brother had done. It wasn't the first time, and as always, mam blamed Becca. "You should have fought harder. You should have prayed more. You should be more forgiving." She ended the conversation by asking Becca to confess her sins to the bishop. The memory brought tears to Becca's eyes. How could her brother's actions be her fault? Had she somehow tempted him? Was there something wrong with her? Was God punishing her for being unable to forgive? Or was this simply her lot in life? Snow crunched beneath her shoes as she made her way across the ice. Becca was nearly to the center of the lake when she stumbled over a fissure and went to her hands and knees. The cold bit into her skin with the intensity of 1,000 blades. She knew it was stupid, but she began to cry. It wasn't supposed to be like this. She wasn't supposed to be scared, and she hadn't expected to feel so alone. A little voice reminded her it wasn't too late to turn back. Her warm bed in her little attic bedroom waited for her at home. Mam and Dot didn't have to know she'd ventured out. But Becca knew there were other things waiting for her at home. Bad things that had been happening to her since she was 3 years old, when her brother had slipped his hand into her panties and told her not to cry. Becca knew what she was about to do was a sin, But she also knew God would forgive her. She knew he would welcome her to heaven with open arms and love her unconditionally for all of eternity. How could that be wrong? Rising, she looked around to get her bearings. Behind her, the trees near the shore were barely visible. Farther out, the silhouette of an ice fishing shanty shimmered like a mirage in the fading light. Brushing snow from her coat, she started toward the structure. Constructed of wood with a single window and tin chimney, the shanty reminded her of a tall, skinny doghouse. She knew sometimes English fishermen spent the night on the lake. But there was no telltale glow of lantern light, no ribbon of smoke rising from the chimney. This one was vacant. It would do. Becca slogged through a deep drift and stumbled toward the front of the shanty. A padlock hung from the hasp, but it wasn't engaged. Shaking with cold, she shoved open the door. The interior was dark and hushed. The air smelled of kerosene and fish. Out of the wind, it was so quiet that she could hear the ice creaking beneath her feet. Her breaths puffing out in clouds of white vapor, she pulled out the candle and matches she'd brought from home and lit the wick. The light revealed a small interior with plywood walls and a shelf covered with fish blood and a smattering of silver scales. A lantern sat on the shelf. A coil of rope hung on the wall. Becca crossed to the shelf and set the candle next to the lantern. Turning, she surveyed the floor. Someone had covered the fishing hole with a square of plywood. Bending, she dragged the wood aside. The hole was about 14 inches in diameter and crusted over with new ice. She looked around for something with which to break it, but there wasn't much in the way of tools. A broken concrete block, a plastic box of fish hooks, empty beer cans. Then, she spotted the hand auger in the corner. Kneeling, she picked it up and used it to break the thin crust. When the hole was open, Becca crossed to the bench, lifted the rope from its hook, and uncoiled it. It was about 12 feet long and frayed on both ends. Her hand shook as she tied one end of it around her waist. She didn't let herself think as she secured the other end to the concrete block. Kneeling next to the hole in the ice, Becca bowed her head and silently recited the Lord's Prayer. She asked God to take care of her ma'am and Dot. She asked him to ease their grief in the coming days. She asked him to forgive her brother for what he'd done to her most of her life. Finally, she asked God to forgive her for the sin she was about to commit. She closed her eyes and prayed harder than she'd ever prayed in her life, hoping it was enough. When she finished, Becca rose, picked up the rope, and lowered the concrete block into the hole, watching it disappear into the black depths. She thought of the journey before her, and her chest swelled, not with fear, but with the utter certainty that soon all would be right. Standing at the edge of the hole, she closed her eyes, stepped forward, and plunged into the water.